Good afternoon and welcome to For the Cause of Christ, the radio ministry of the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood. The church is under the direction of its pastor, John Lutz. Stay tuned for a message straight and direct from the Word of God. Here now with this week's message is Pastor John Lutz.
The first Adam fell in the garden of God. His sin was the causation. The last Adam wept in the garden of man, so we could have salvation. Many believe that's the end of the road, that there's no more to this summation. But the third Adam is here to now do a work and to bring the world damnation.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to our broadcast today. We have got a very, very special broadcast for you. As was mentioned, my name is John Lutz. I pastor the North Coast Baptist Church in the city of Lakewood, and we are going to be joined here in just a few moments with a very special guest that I mentioned to you last week that we were going to have on. And you'll have all the information about the church right at the end of the broadcast today. But we do have the privilege of filling in for Pastor Al Davis and his broadcast today as well. So we'll be with you for basically the full hour. And our guest has agreed to be with us for this time as well. Well, I would like to introduce to you Missionary Spencer Smith. He is from the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Shepherdsville, Kentucky. And I think he's doing just a tremendous job connecting a lot of dots here in these last days. We want to welcome to our show today, Spencer Smith. Spencer, welcome to our show.
Man, thank you for letting me come on today.
Boy, we are so excited to have you with us. And, you know, we've never met other than over the phone, but I feel like I know you watching YouTube all the time. And as I was just mentioning to you a little bit ago, one of the documentaries popped up as a recommendation to watch. And I started watching that, and I thought, wow, anyone who's listened to this broadcast for any length of time now knows that just about every week I talk about Jude, or I talk about 2 Peter, talk about, you know, the all-love gospel versus those things. And I started watching those, and I thought, boy, this really connected a lot of dots for me. And so I'd like to take some time to talk about that a little bit today, about your work. Boy, you're an author. I've read your Calling Evil Good book. We'll talk a little bit about that today as well, because I think it all kind of goes together. But I want you to introduce yourself to our audience, maybe tell us a little bit about yourself, maybe your testimony of salvation, and I'll kind of give it over to you.
Well, I thank you for that, preacher. I appreciate that so much. I, of course, I'm Spencer Smith, and I was raised in Metro Atlanta, and when I was 18 years old, someone gave me the gospel at an independent Baptist church, and the Lord had been dealing with my heart, and I didn't understand what was going on, but I got saved that night. God,
amen.
The grace of God was imparted to my soul, and I was born again, and never was the same since that day.
Amen.
And just kind of went off and felt like, I wanted to let God use my life and wanted to just to walk away from the world and all the things that I had planned and just see what God had for me. And God called me to preach, went to Bible college, and met a girl there named Rebecca Sobey, and I changed her name to Rebecca Smith.
Amen.
And, I liked her so much. And so, after Bible college, I felt like the Lord wanted me to do something in missions, and I started traveling the road in America here, and started making trips over to Kenya, Africa, working with a group of nationals there, just going back and forth, and traveled for probably 12 years doing that.
Yeah.
And we moved here to Kentucky about 8 years ago, and our sending church is Lighthouse Baptist Church. Right now, I serve as the director of our church's mission work and Lighthouse Baptist Missions. And what we're trying to do is just trying to help start churches overseas. We've got churches in Nairobi, Kenya. We've got churches in Dominican Republic, and probably going to be expanding our ministry here before too long if we get some more manpower. But in the course of doing all that, I started doing YouTube as well, and just trying to put out some, just talk about things that I knew what was going on, and just talk about contemporary theological issues. And I really felt like I had a load of information, a lot of stuff. The Africans taught me a lot of things about false Christianity.
Yeah.
And they showed me how all these charismatics basically are practicing like a, you take like witchcraft and and you change a few terms around, and you, instead of, you know, worshiping a spirit, you're worshiping the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Worshiping, you know, some great deity, you're worshiping, they just call it Jesus now. And they showed me it's basically the same thing. And I came back to America and started looking at things like Hillsong and all these other people, Bethel Church, and said, you know, these people literally are practicing the occult and doing it in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
And one thing led to another, and that's how the Third Adam series was born. And we've put out 4 documentaries now just on that. And Third Adam, of course, Third Adam 2, The Great Seduction, Third Adam 3, The Rise of the Divine Feminine, and then Third Adam 3X, which is an extended version of Rise of the Divine Feminine, where we just kind of go into more depth of church histories over 4.5 hours long. That was a brutal documentary.
I was looking at that. I thought, man, he's got 10 hours worth of documentary films on that alone. I can't imagine how many hours you actually put into it to get down to the 10 hours of those four documentaries. But I have trouble now. I was telling, we had our men's Bible study last night, and I was telling our men about, you know, some of the stuff that you're doing. And I said, you know, one of the things with the whole She Rises, and I said, yeah, I don't know what you know about Lakewood, but Lakewood doesn't get any bluer. Outside of San Francisco, Lakewood has the highest per capita sodomite population in the country. And we have a woman mayor, we have a woman judge, and we have the only openly avowed lesbian woman senator in the Ohio State House. So, I mean, I'm driving around looking at these buildings. I'm like, man, he has just hit this thing on the head. Don't have to go any further than the city the Lord's called us to do our work there. But I do want to talk a little bit about the Third Adam stuff first. And, you know, what? Maybe describe that. I played a little clip there at the beginning of the beginning of your Third Adam clip, but maybe give people an idea what's the concept of Third Adam? What do you mean by that? And what we're looking for?
Well, the Bible says, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, there's going to be a wicked that will be revealed, and he'll do all signs and wonders and lying wonders and stuff like that. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And basically, you have to understand that everything that God does, Satan imitates.
Yeah.
And it says here, it's 2 Thessalonians 2:8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with his mouth and brightness of his coming. Verse 9, even him whose coming is after the work of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. And so basically, this Antichrist is going to be able to do everything that Jesus did as far as signs and I believe he'll have powers and things like that. So he'll imitate Christ, and he will be like a Messiah type figure, and he will claim to be the second coming of Jesus. I personally think he will. That's the card he's going to play.
Yeah.
And he will even take the throne there in the temple. And so that's the whole idea there, is that there was the first Adam that fell in the Garden of God. And then there's this, you know, the last Adam, which we all know that from our Bible, that's who Jesus Christ is.
Right.
But there's going to be a third one. He's going to come, and he's not going to be the Christ. He's going to be a false Christ. And people will worship him as if he is God. That's Revelation 13. They'll worship the image of the beast and make him their Savior. And so all these things, what I'm exploring is the idea of, okay, how is this going to come to be, and how are people going to buy into this? Because if some man just stepped on the scene right this very second and said, hey, everybody worship me, everybody laugh at me.
Yeah, right.
But there's got to be some things in place, and there's got to be a religious angle to it, and that's the angle that we're exploring. And I feel like most modern Christianity is occultic in nature, is satanic in nature, and it is designed to pave the way, be the forerunner, if you will, to this coming Antichrist, just like John the Baptist was.
Yeah, and you know, the signs and the wonders, and even in Revelation, right at the condemnation, right when the false prophet and the beast are thrown into the lake of fire, it even says there he wrought miracles before him. And this, I think this myself, I think this fits into the second Peter, where, you know, no scripture is given of any private interpretation, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And then the next chapter, he says, but as there were false prophets among you, there should be false teachers. And I think the destruction of the purity of that there's one Bible really leads to the acceptance of, you know, a faith that is based upon experience, not God's word. And I know you talk a lot about that too, with experiential salvation. People are looking for something to validate something with the word of God or even outside of it. And it's amazing how many times Jesus said, take heed, be not deceived. Take heed, be not deceived. It's like, we're not taking heed. And I see it in our church. I see people that have bought into some of this without knowing they've bought into some of this. So it shows how strong the deception really is. And, you know, I think Christians sometimes would think, well, you know, it won't get me. Well, let him take heed, you know, he that standeth, take heed lest he fall. And so I do like the angle that you're taking, because I've said in our church for many years, even in America, you know, I believe the failure of America is the failure of America's churches. You know, if I don't remember if it was to Tocqueville or Montesquieu, one of the two came in, and he has that famous quote about, it wasn't until I went to the church house and saw the pulpits aflame with the righteousness of God that I understood, you know, America. Well, if America's falling, it's got to be, well, there's no more fire and righteousness in the pulpits. And I think your documentaries do a great job of exposing that very truth. And so that's the whole concept of, you know, the third Adam. And with that, you see, you know, you wrote the book on about the lies of Christian rock and roll. Great book, by the way. You did a great job on that. You know, and it's, I like books I can pick up and have a hard time putting down. And it, this really was one of those. And I like your The Sinner Saint. Maybe we could talk a little bit about that. The Sinner Saint complex that many Hollywood people have, many entertainers have. What do you mean by Sinner Saint complex?
Well, it's the idea that I live like the devil, and I smoke, fornicate, and, you know, drink and whatever. But, you know, I pepper my language with praise the Lord. Yeah, that's me. I'm for all that, and it's lip service, and it's like, show me thy faith by thy works in the Book of James. I mean, it's like these people. The only evidence that they're born again is the fact that they just say that they're born again. And,
yeah.
You know, that's it. And most people are so shallow, they look at that and say, oh, well, look at that. Hulk Hogan's born again. Justin Bieber's born again. Well, what makes you say that? Well, they say they are.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I can sit here and say that I'm Godzilla, but you look at me and there's really no evidence that I'm Godzilla, okay, other than the fact that I just say that I'm Godzilla.
Yeah, right.
And that's the whole idea. And this, and everybody, I mean, you got guys like Chris Pratt, who's playing, the Jurassic Park guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's a famous actor. The only evidence Chris Pratt is born again is the fact that he says he's born again.
Yeah.
And Justin Bieber is covered in tattoos. He's drinking, fornicating, cussing, doing everything imaginable under the sun, debaucherous. But he tells everybody he's saved. And I'm like, you know, listen, being saved is more than just saying I'm saved. It is a new birth. You are a new creature, 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Yeah.
And these people claim Christ and they profess Christ, but they have no evidence of a changed life. They have no evidence that they are a saint. And so I just call them sinner saints because that's what they are.
Yeah, and you know, every one of them, when you look at the churches that they affiliate with, and if they affiliate, like the athletes, you know, same way, all these athletes, oh, I'm blessed and you know, all this, but there's none of them that are going to Baptist churches. None of them are going to independent Baptist churches. They're all affiliated with these churches that are just completely watered down, obviously not even true churches. And these preachers make these guys feel comfortable in these lies. And I think it goes along with, I think Corinthians, Paul wrote to the Corinthian church where he talks about, you know, don't be amazed, don't be surprised when, you know, Satan's angels, his ministers are transformed into ministers or angels of light. And we're seeing that. And I think that all fits into the preparation for the third Adam. And I agree wholeheartedly with that, with you. Now, I want to jump to Adam 2, where you talk about the great seduction. And so I'm going to ask Eric, I've got another clip to play here that we'll talk about. So Eric, if you could play clip number two, we'll go with that.
To understand now, you have to understand the past. You have Nimrod, who is the leader of the people of Babel, and he actually fell in love with a woman named Semiramis. Pagan history teaches that Semiramis was an arch-occultist, and she was a very seductive person, and so Nimrod fell for her and ended up marrying her. The problem was is that she was a harlot woman, and so what he did is he married her, made her the queen, declared her the Holy Virgin.
All right, let's talk a little bit about Nimrod and more importantly, Semiramis with that and how this actually continues marching right towards this third Adam issue. Mm-hmm. So,
Well, Semiramis is pretty wild story there.
Yeah, no, it's I've heard it before, but again, the way that you've connected the dots, and it's probably in accordance with the other documentaries as well, kind of piecing it all together. It just seemed to make a whole lot more sense, especially when you say the Holy Virgin, because people can directly relate that to modern times with somebody called the Holy Virgin. So maybe we can talk a little bit about Semiramis and how through the ages we're at, you know, Mary right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the difficulty in all that is that all the history of that is very fuzzy.
Yeah.
And it is very contradictory. And, you know, you'll read 10 different things, get 10 different answers.
Yeah.
But you have to realize that is the inversion of Bible truth. And Bible truth is always preserved. It is always the same. And God miraculously preserves it. But mystery religion is the antithesis of that. And therefore, it is fluid and it constantly changes. And that's why it's so contradictory.
Right.
But if you can sift through all the information, you can pick out these overarching themes. And one of the overarching themes is that there is a goddess woman at the very top of this mystery religion. And Roman Catholicism captures this beautifully in that they think Mary is the mother of God.
Yeah.
And that they don't worship Jesus, they worship the womb that brought Jesus into the world.
Yeah.
And there's really a lot to it. Every culture has always had a goddess woman. I mean, the Greeks, the Romans, they worship goddess women. And all that kind of connects to the divine feminine. But in Third Adam 2, the Great Seduction, the Lord Jesus pointed out in the end of the book of Revelation that there would be a great whore, great harlot, and that her name was Mystery. And that goes right along with what I'm saying. All this stuff is fuzzy, it's fluid, and it really, it's, to some degree, makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what mystery does. And then also, the Bible describes her as a whore, the whore of Revelation.
Yeah.
And I went to Amsterdam one time when a friend of mine showed me around the city a little bit. And it's like we were walking through a maze. And I kind of asked him, I said, why are we walking around? It's like we're walking in circles. And really, we were zigzagging all through all these weird places. It made no sense how we were walking through the city. And I said, why are we doing this? And he says, well, because there's red light districts everywhere.
Mm.
I said, well, okay, that makes a lot more sense. And I said, well, man, can't we just walk through here? He goes, no, you don't want to go through there. It's like 100 yards. It was nothing.
Yeah.
And he said, don't go in there. And I said, bro, it's not that big deal. We can walk through there. He goes, no, you have no idea how powerful these women's seduction is. You don't even want to mess with this stuff.
Yeah. Wow.
And I said, okay, well, sounds good. And I appreciated him doing that.
Yeah.
But seduction is a powerful thing. A physical seduction is a very powerful thing, and there's people out there who have mastered it. I think right now they say that almost 40% of the internet is just sheer pornography.
Yeah.
And so it's a serious, major thing. But spiritual seduction, what does that look like? What is that? And how powerful is it? Well, I would say it's a major thing. It's very powerful, and it's just as costly as physical seduction.
Yeah.
And I made the case there that this spiritual seduction pulls you away from Bible truth, and that's why all these churches, they don't care anything about what the Bible says. They just want to hear the next seductive, breathy song from their favorite, seductive, breathy female singer, and they don't even know what the Bible says.
Yeah.
They can't even tell you if they're saved. They just want to have that religious high. And I think that's going to culminate into the one world religion and merge everybody together. because that's just what they do. And it is a dangerous, dangerous concept. And I think contemporary Christian music is the modern day equivalent of all that. The mystery religion, bringing everyone together under one world religion. And that's what Nimrod, Semiramis, and Tammuz is all about. But if you go to the Old Testament, one of the criticisms I had about that documentary is people say, well, where's Semiramis and Nimrod and Tammuz in the Bible?
Yeah.
Well, you got Ezekiel chapter 8. He's the image of jealousy. That's Nimrod. Tammuz is blatantly mentioned there. And then there's Semiramis is mentioned in the Old Testament. She's Ashtoreth.
Yeah.
And Baal is Nimrod, and Ashtoreth is his wife. And that's what people did in the Old Testament. They'd worship at the high places, worship Baal and Ashtoreth, and then the groves and all that. It's all connected.
Yeah.
And it's actually a very wild religion once you get into it and study it.
And I guess the underlying point on that is, you know, it's the foundation of all the falsehoods. I mean, there's only two religions in the world, right? The right one and the wrong one. I mean, it's false and true. And that undercurrent is always there. That's always seducing people away from the truth. In fact, 1 John talks about, you know, we have an anointing on us, but he says, I write to those who seek to seduce you. And, you know, that has always been the subtlety of Satan to attach the heart to things that is not supposed to be attached to and kind of woe or woo somebody into something that they should not be a part of. And clearly, I agree with you that you look at the average church today, and worldly church, mega churches, big churches, there's no truth. None of them use anything close to a King James Bible. And they're all focused on entertainment. And I understand it. When you, I always say when you take the truth out, all you have is experience left. So now I've always used the word conjure. You got to conjure up an experience. So somebody walks up, oh, church was great today. What did he preach on? Oh, I don't know, but the music was great. You know, and we get so focused and seduced by that music. And I don't think we realize how powerful it is. Yet, I mean, you go around Christmas time, you go into Walmart. I mean, I haven't listened to 60s music in who knows how long, but you hear that music and it's like, I've never forgotten it. Your mind goes back to experiences you had with those music. And you're like, wow, look how powerful this tool is for corruption. Well, Spencer, we only got a little over a minute left here on this first broadcast, and I appreciate you taking time out. We're going to come back. I'll take a little break here. The next show is Pastor Al's show we're going to fill in for, and I'm looking forward to talking a little bit more. We're going to play another clip after the break about order versus balance. We'll get into that a little bit and talk about some of the things going on with that and take it where the Lord wants us to go with that. So I appreciate you taking some time with us. Everybody stay tuned. I hope that you can stick with us. If you cannot stick with us, certainly the most important thing you'll ever want to know is the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. And to know for sure that you're on your way to glory. We don't get saved because we want to go to heaven. We get saved because we don't want to go to hell. And Jesus is the only way out. And we'd love to talk with you a little bit more about that. All the information is coming up here at the end of this broadcast. Stick with us. We'll be right back with Spencer Smith after this break.
You have been listening to For the Cause of Christ with Pastor John Lutz from the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood. Pastor Lutz and the congregation would like to extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at any of their services. Sunday morning worship is at 11, the Sunday evening service is at 6, and the Wednesday Bible study is at 7 p.m. North Coast Baptist Church is located at 2051 Quail Street in Lakewood. For directions or more information, please call 216-521-3800. That's 216-521-3800. Or send an email to northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. That's northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. Thank you for listening. This program has been sponsored by the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood, Ohio.